right, let's call to order the Downtown Advisory Board meeting for Thursday, August 22nd. We'll start with roll call. Joshua Kay.
Here.
Aaron Turbining, I'm here. Vincenzo Maduri, not here yet. Hillary Banks.
Here.
Maria Palacio, not here. Brad Compton.
Here.
Scott McLeod.
Here.
Dana Buchdevin. Not here. And Lori Miller.
Here.
All right, thanks. So we have a new member. So I know Josh a little bit from work and the real estate world. He's a great guy. We're lucky to have him with us. And I don't know, do you want to?
So I was thinking you want to say a little bit about yourself and then we'll go around the room.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you for the kind words. So as Aaron mentioned, I'm Josh Kay. Commercial real estate broker, recently relocated to downtown Salem in a satellite office, thus meeting the criteria to be at the table and joining you guys.
It was a great place to go to join you.
Yes.
Real dedication.
So I'm really excited to be down here, really care about Salem and where downtown is going, and hopefully I'm going to be here adding value, and I'll be listening first, fly on the wall, so to speak, and then hopefully being able to contribute once I kind of get caught up to speed with where you guys are. So thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're very excited.
Josh, I'll introduce myself. My name is Brad. I've known you for a while.
Good to see you.
Josh and I know each other. Hi, Josh. Welcome.
Lori.
Josh, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Scott.
Well, I guess I'm the only one that Hillary, work for Mountain West Investment, a real estate developer in primarily Salem.
All right. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And then I don't know if you had a chance to meet, because we did our orientation, but Anita Sandoval is staff support to the board. And then we have the director of urban development here today, Kristen Rutherford.
And Alan.
Alan Dan with Public Works. Alan is here today.
And Kirsten, too. With
I was waiting,
but yes, she does a lot with historic and she's in community development.
What was your name?
Kirsten.
All right, nice to meet you.
I would say, you know, as you're listening, don't hesitate to ask questions. A lot of times new board members have lots of questions that they may think, oh, this would, you know, everybody already knows this, I shouldn't ask. Most often, they're good reminders for all of us.
Okay. I'll speak up.
Yeah, go for it, please. Great, all right, so.
And then we just had one more announcement.
Yes, is that an announcement?
Well, yes, because okay. Probably only you and I and Anita know. You wanna, Hillary?
Today is my last day.
Oh.
We're moving out of downtown. Get one in, one out.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, you have been amazing. You will be so missed. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to serve with everyone.
That you've done. Really appreciate it. Okay, now I was going to take her out, so I when she first got here, see if I can change your mind. She's like, I'm moving. Fine.
Well, we'll miss you. Thanks for your time. Okay, approval of the agenda. I need a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Thanks. Second. Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say no. All right, approved. And then the minutes.
I move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Okay. Public comment. Is there anyone here? Yes.
So I'm Kirsten from the Community Development Department. I'm just here to share with you a survey that we've opened through the Historic Preservation Department. We'll be updating the historic preservation plan in the next year, and this survey is part of our just initial outreach. We'd really appreciate it if you guys could take the time to do the survey, since there's the Downtown Historic District has a lot to do with you guys. So if you guys have any questions, you know, you're always feel free to call me or Kimberly. She'll be back at the beginning of September. And yeah, we're really looking forward to this project. I think it's going to be really cool. We're going to have a really great opportunity to talk to folks about what they want to see change about the historic preservation plan, and downtown is a really big part of that. So there's going to be chances to be more involved in the future. So if you are curious or interested in that, there's more information at that same link. So,
thanks. Yeah. Awesome. Now, a lot of times we get these sent to us like via email.
I can make sure that you get that if you want it in a form other than that little that you're going to lose, Aaron's or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll make sure you get
it. I can only speak for myself.
Well,
it's easier to just like click a link.
Well,
and
sure
I'm more likely to click a link that I got.
Minutes.
Awesome.
Will that work for you?
Sure.
Okay.
I can also forward you a little handout.
Like an email?
Yeah, if you have like a little flyer or a postcard, I'll get it.
I'm more likely to do it rather than like find this, type in this address. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate the time.
Okay, action items.
Okay, so Joshua, you and I talked about when there's an action item, usually you get some type of a memo from me kind of speaking to it, and then action items are usually first before anything else on the agenda, because if people have to leave, we want to try to hold on to our quorum. And this is a project that is ongoing, so it's not brand new. I'm just making some changes or asking for some support to make some changes. So before I go through this, is there any specific question any of you have that you want me to cover during my overview?
Where would the money come from? Would it come out of another line item?
Yes, yes. Future project line item.
Just, okay. So basically unallocated.
Yes. So, and again, I'm going to give you budgets today, the ones that we don't have the budget book, but that are the ones that were adopted, because that's typically what you ask for, because when we do the development of the budget, we have drafts, and then it finally gets adopted, so I will give you those. So if you had Riverfront, you would see future projects at the bottom, and this would come out of that. So I guess I'll pop those out right now, so that makes sense.
That was really the only question I had.
So basically, this particular program has been very successful, as you've seen. This is the second time I've come in and asked for funds to continue to support this particular program. The difference this time is that now that we have some under our belt, I have a better sense of what the funding threshold should be, so that we can try to leverage and, I mean, to try to expand it and fill as many projects as we can. Changing it from 50 to 30 will pretty much have been what would have covered the projects that we've received to date. Like, really, it's rare exception that they're exceeding that. So that will help us do more projects. And so basically, I'm asking for two things. One, I'm asking for $100,000 from that future project line item in Riverfront budget to continue to support this program, and two, I'm asking for a change of the maximum from 50 to 30.
And is it able, are you able to have exceptions to the 30, or is that just a hard and fast, no exception on that? Because there were a few in there that were over 30.
That is correct, but I think at this point, because of all of the impacts that we've had to the budget, I don't feel as staff that we should be doing those over 30, because we really need to try to, and because, you know, we're not leveraging on those, we're paying 100% of those costs.
Yeah.
And so when some of them have added probably things to it that they wouldn't just basically need because of the 50,000 threshold. Exceptions, you know, go to the agency board. So I'm not going to be as willing to support those. I would like them to stay within the 30,000 that we have so that we can do as many projects as possible. Yeah. But program guidelines are just that.
Sure.
They're just guidelines. So we could obviously be something that we could consider if that came up.
Yeah, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. It's gotten great feedback. I've talked to several people that have used it and are very, I mean, hopefully they would be very appreciative, but it's been a really nice benefit. Okay. Cameras, all the...
It's been amazing what I've heard, because you can see it on your phone.
Yeah.
And what they're saying, they're seeing.
Yeah.
That they didn't know was happening has helped them quite a bit. So, yeah, and cameras is the big one.
Yeah.
Hello.
Vincenzo.
So, for purpose of this action item, we're not really diving into the budget right now. Right? Just going to try to get through this. So there's actually two. One is to increase the budget by 100, and then the second is to reduce the maximum grant amount per project.
Correct.
From 50 to 30. Okay.
So
sounds good to me.
Are we gonna, in addition to this, are we gonna talk about the police station and all that that we didn't get to talk about on the email?
Do you see who I have here today?
Okay.
That is why she's here.
Okay.
Alan is here. Yes. When I was gone, I saw the email, and so, and again, and now we have the budget, and so one of the things we're going to go through is I figured you would want to know what the impacts are at the end of the day to this budget, and that's what we're going to talk
okay.
about.
Okay.
Okay.
That's the yellowish. Can I have that? Thank you.
So yeah, let's tackle these little action items here, and then police facilities our next agenda item. So.
Well, so if we're down to 633,000, so now we'd be down to 533,000 for committed to future projects, right?
That's correct.
And that would be for the capital grant thing,
no.
Or that would be for
no. Capital grant is 5.
Capital
is
up above. It's
okay.
own separate line item.
So yeah. So what were we? We're just stating that as if something great came, we wanted to buy or option or something.
Just unallocated, basically.
Yeah. Exactly. Thanks.
So that's just down to half a million Fuckaluski.
Well, yeah, and I guess to that point, I would just say right now we're not discussing the overall budget, which I think we probably have a lot of questions and could talk for a while about it.
Well, as much as everybody liked it, and I don't know, should I even have a comment? Because I got a grant for cameras down there. Should I even be having my 2 cents worth?
Yeah, you should, because this is for all the other people out there.
Because it really has, it's really made a difference. The tenants feel safer, and my security guy during the day, he can monitor all that. You know, my property's big. He can see what's going on and get off his desk and run before somebody gets a chance to get away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it is pretty, it's an important thing. And making it less money, I guess that would make more sense, because like a $44,000 trash enclosure, wow. Was that a big property that went on, or the State Street one?
No, it's you know, where the Chinese restaurant was, where they
got a new building.
So it's a brand new trash enclosure.
Oh, okay.
And actually, you know, the trash enclosures mean more to me than anything else, because of the issues that we have with the homeless and the trash. So, you know, I wish we had more requests for that. They're not as easy to do for a lot of reasons. A lot of them are in alleys, and then the regulations for exiting buildings and fire. So when we can get them, I really like to have them done, because it really makes a big difference in the look and feel and for everyone. It benefits everyone. I mean, a camera does an individual property, but those trash enclosures, they really contribute to the look and feel for everyone.
Well, yeah, ours is gated and locked.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Most are not.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, if you look at the average of what we did, what you know, what you approved all that time, then 30,000 looks reasonable, I guess, is my input.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I finally got it.
So is that a motion, Laura?
Okay, I move to approve. I think it is, the more safe people feel, the more people will extend their leases and stay and keep their business downtown, so yes.
So, okay, I have a question, because I'm understanding what we're talking about, kind of action item number two. But what exactly, what is this action item one? Where can I look, like, what are we looking at? I feel like with action item two, we can look at this and see, oh, yeah, they don't really go a lot over average.
So the reason why there's action item number one is that I have very little money in this program.
Okay.
So the next application that comes in, depending on what it requests, I won't have any money in the program to fund it.
Okay.
So basically, one means you support having money for the types of projects that we've already funded to date.
Okay.
Because I'm going to run out of money.
Right.
And I can do that. It just means when somebody wants to request that program, we won't have it available.
Right. And we know, and as we're talking about, it's about safety in the okay, cool.
So was the motion for action item one and two?
I saw it. Thanks. Further discussion before we vote? I have a couple questions about it. I don't want to hold up passing the motion because I think it's a good idea, but was the $258,000 all spent in 18? Or was that 18? I mean, the 18-19 budget? Or?
So we start, so
or how
we,
far does that go back?
No, so it was approved in February 2019, so it would have been some of them in 18-19. Because what I say.
Some of these are moving forward into.
They're committed in a one budget year, but they may not be done.
I guess my question is $100,000 enough, or did we spend $258,000 in 1 year? And
we spent the $100,000,
yeah,
and then we came back and got another $75,000.
Okay.
And then we had a new budget allocation of $150,000 in this new fiscal year as of July, and based on the interest.
Right.
I'm needing to ask you for
$100,000
more. It certainly covers those that I have to do. I have no idea what else until I get it will
so
come down.
So if you get more, let's say you get more requests than your funding, do we have to keep doing this? Or just a question, why couldn't you just go to that unallocated special projects, $588,000 or whatever it is?
Oh, you mean do I have to come to you every time?
Right.
I have to come to you. I need to come to you to make it. I have to go to the agency board.
Yeah.
So, because of your advisory role is over budget, I will come to you and let you know.
And do you think that, would you prefer that? That it's more like chunks and then asking as needed kind of thing? I guess.
Well, Renee's not here, but I spoke with Renee about her level of comfort because we're taking from future projects.
Right.
Because I originally wanted more. Because I thought just what Aaron's saying. How many times you want to see me talk about this? again, the 633 is lower for some of us that have been on the board for unallocated or future projects that we've seen for years. Years.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, her recommendation was 100.
Okay.
You know, it could be that I could have come and said, let's take it out of the capital improvement grant program instead of this, but knowing what is kind of coming down the road for that particular program, I didn't want to make that recommendation, but we have that option too. I mean, we can look at any of those line items that have money in them and say it could come from that for this. Cool. I just
by doing the lesser amount now, if we need more in the future, then that gives us time to look and see how demand and spending has gone to other line items.
Right.
So let's say that we don't have as many big projects in the capital grant program. I don't anticipate that's going to be the case, but if we don't,
let me know.
And we need more money from this, we can pull from that item instead of the unallocated.
Yep. Makes sense. Thank you.
All right. Let's vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. All right. Passes both A and B. And I would just add that, like, that this seems like pretty low-hanging fruit if you think about the overall budget of what we're making recommendations on and our goals of improving the value of the properties downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, just in general, moving forward, these are like easy little wins. Keep doing
a lot of bang for your buck.
Yes,
I agree.
Yeah, and if it makes people feel safer, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
And that's such a big thing right now, or, you know, just the perception, so.
Yeah.
Okay. People love it.
Thanks. So, police facility update.
Alan, I guess that's me. I think I've met everybody, well, almost everybody before, but just in case. Alan Dannett with Public Works Engineering. I'm the city's project manager for the police facility project. And what I'll probably do here is just try to probably just mix up both the police station and the division superintendent, since we're managing them all together. And what I wanted to do for you folks today is just give you a status update on where we are with construction and what's coming, and then talk a little bit, or wrap up a little bit with costs of the project that's been in the news this week. If you get the Salem Reporter or some private Salem Reporter, they had a big article about our cost this week, and questions are coming in about that, so I just thought I'd spend a few minutes talking about that, and then that'll probably transition right into questions about your related part of the budget, so if that sounds okay. I was going through my notes. The last time I was here was May of last year, so 15 months ago. And a lot has happened since then. At that time, we had been working with our design partner, CB2, and DLR Group for a little over half a year. We were waist deep in the design at that point and had just brought our contractor on board. So they'd been alongside us just for a couple of months at that time. And just as a reminder, I think I talked about it here last time, but we're using an alternative contracting method for this project called CMGC. It's Construction Manager General Contractor. It has a lot of benefits, but one of the big ones is it allows that contractor to come on site with us during design and help us give us feedback about constructability, cost-saving options, that kind of thing, while we're still in design. It really let us make a lot of course corrections to try to manage the cost environment that we were in. If we had done a traditional low bid process, like most city projects where we finished the design, which ended up happening back in March, and then put it out for bid, we would have had a much, much worse result in terms of where we were with the budget. So I can't stress enough how valuable that contracting tool has been for us. So at that point in May, we had finished demolishing the site just a couple months before that. We had this small archaeological investigation in front of us that kind of took up the latter half of the summer. And we were able to get going with groundbreaking in November. And that's another benefit of CMGC contracting, is that certain elements of the work that are fully designed and ready to go, you can actually bid and start work on those while you finish the details of the final design. Let us lock in some costs and take advantage of good weather to get the site going. So in November, we broke ground and we had the benefits of really great weather last fall. We were able to get the site graded in while it was still dry. And then over the winter, I think probably everybody saw foundation work going and then the concrete structure start to rise out of the ground. That has continued through this summer. As we finished design, that basically we were able to keep going that construction while we finished up design. So we finished up design in March and put all the remaining elements of the project out for bid. And that's where we really started, or we got the final confirmation of where we were with costs. As it turned out, we were able to work out a way to fund everything that we had brought the kind of project down to, turning to a number of sources, including urban renewal. And so at about the same time that we finished the concrete structure, topped out with the roof, we also arrived at a guaranteed maximum price with our CMGC. So at that point, we signed an amendment to the contract that locks in the construction for that amount. And barring unforeseen risks that would typically fall to the owner, like contamination or extreme weather or things like that, that construction amount is locked in, that guarantee. So, as I've kind of referred to, we were fighting market headwinds the whole way, but we were able to finally reach that point. And I'll go into the cost piece in a little bit here. But as far as what's coming up, so with that concrete structure being complete and the guaranteed maximum now in place, our contractor can is working hard to get all their subs in the queue, on schedule, and materials procured and everything in line for us to complete this, the entire building by next September. So it's a little over a year away. So what you're going to see, and you're already seeing it out there, is the exterior framing. So the steel, the pieces of steel that are going all around the outside, and you can start to look and see where windows are framed in there. That'll all get sheathed and waterproofed, and then they'll follow behind with the roof on top of the structure and putting in windows all through mid-November. And at that point, the building will be dried in. So that's another key milestone that lets us continue working on the interior through the winter with a dry environment. In the meantime, there is stuff going on inside the building. They're starting to frame up masonry walls, do the interior framing for the other walls in the structure, and there's lots of work going on with mechanical, electrical, and plumbing being hung from the ceiling slab and getting everything roughed in so that when the building's dry, then the interior work can go in. So that's where we stand, again, all putting everything in place for construction or to complete in next September. As far as the transportation improvements go at Division Street, so just a reminder for everybody, the scope of what's envisioned there is kind of a full reconfiguration of Division Street on the block in front of the building. So we'll convert that to two-way traffic instead of one-way traffic like it is now. That lets us get rid of the Hot Wheels like weaving pattern that you see every day out there.
Hey, I'm one of them.
Yeah, me too. And instead we'll convert Liberty Street to two-way for another couple blocks to the south to Marion, so that that southbound traffic, instead of weaving across, the northbound traffic continues south and can access towards the bridge either from Union or Marion Street. So the message I've always given to folks is we're not going to solve downtown congestion with this project, but we are providing more alternatives and options for that traffic that's going towards the bridge at the peak time. So at least hopefully we're not making anything worse. But along with that goes parking on Division Street right in front of the police station, so that visitors can park right there and have easy access to the facility. There'll be signal improvements at Division and Commercial. So to make that two-way configuration work, we've got to make changes there. We just, after literally a year of working with ODOT, convinced them that that was the way to go. So we're still working on all the final details, but they have given us their agreement to that concept. So that was a big reminder that persistence pays off when you're working with ODOT. There'll be a new signal at Liberty and Division, and that will help that two-way configuration on Liberty work. And then we're also, all the streets that we're touching in that area will be incorporating the downtown streetscape concepts that I know you folks have been talked about and have been presented at open houses. So a little wider sidewalks, new pet lighting, street trees, and that kind of thing to try to bring those concepts into this area. And hopefully that helps kind of link up with the efforts that will go on further in downtown. Bike lanes along Liberty as well that will connect down towards Union Street, where there's envisioned to be another more bike-friendly facility. So a lot of improvements for the neighborhood there to try to not only make sure our facility functions as best it can, but tie in with the neighborhood and maybe hopefully catalyze some more improvements there. So that's the concept behind Division Street. So any questions about overall scope of the project or anything like that before I dive into the cost piece?
How many, I guess they'd be quarter blocks
like, you know, like, say, Division Street, you're doing the whole quarter block on both sides of the streetscape, right? Like, between Liberty and Commercial, Division Street gets new sidewalk on both sides.
Correct.
So let's say that's a quarter block.
Gotcha. If you're thinking
it's a block has four sides.
Quarter of the square, right?
Yeah. How many quarter blocks are getting streetscape?
Yeah, so it'll essentially be three quarters of the block around, well, actually, it's the whole block around the police station, because we'll do Commercial, Division, Liberty, and then there's going to be a pathway behind to create between the two. So essentially that whole block. And then at the Division South, on the south side, so across the street from the police facility, we'll do that. And then it'll wrap around onto Liberty and Commercial. And that's where the new sidewalks and things will stop. From Division South on Liberty towards Marion, it's more striping for the bike lanes and making the traffic configuration work, but not a sidewalk.
Thanks.
So as far as the cost of the project goes, it's no secret that when the bond passed, we were in a very hot construction market. So I just thought I'd provide you all with a few facts that we kind of pulled together, and we worked closely with the Salem Reporter. So they reported off some of these same facts. In May of 2016 is when we were putting the final touches on the first bond measure. And so we were working with an architect at that time who hired a professional cost estimator. That's what our estimates were based on. And we used that same estimate to base the second bond measure attempt on. The cost at that time was estimated, so it was going to occur in 2016 at roughly $300 a square foot. And I'm just talking about the building itself. Where we wound up when it was all said and done, so if you fast forward 3 years into the future, it's about $400 a square foot, a little over $400 a square foot. So a major gap there. We had built for escalation into the bond measure at, you know, a few percent a year, a total of 9% on construction total. And of course, that way outstripped that. So we knew that from the beginning. And it wasn't just a matter of, well, things are costing more, so we're just gonna, you know, grit our teeth and see what it comes out. The project team worked from the very beginning to really try to make course correcting measures like I referred to before. And again, that's where having our contractor alongside was so helpful. So one of the first things that happened there was the original size of the building was meant to be 115,000 square feet. Early in design, we said, okay, how can we bring that down? Because that's the easiest way to save money, build a smaller building. And so we were able to actually trim 11,000 square feet out of the footprint without major sacrifice to function or space or the ability to grow. It was really through efficient design and our police force touring some other facilities and just looking at similar, like a conference room this size, what does that look like? How many people would fit a briefing room this size? We don't maybe need 1,000, maybe 100 square feet will do once they see, you know, have those real world comparisons. So that was a big first step. And then it went on from there, basically going to other levels of detail. So we looked for cost-saving measures wherever we could. We found a way to do the foundations that minimized excavation called rammed aggregate piers. So instead of digging all the way down to good soil, we could drill and backfill with gravel and then rest the foundations on that. It saved us a lot of money and time, both in that early part of construction. And it went all the way down to looking at every building system and saying, okay, how do we separate the nice-to-haves from the have-to-haves? And making sure that we're finding that balance of being as frugal as possible without sort of compromising the overall mission of what was promised, which is a safe, efficient, welcoming facility that's going to last us for decades, because we only get one shot to do this right. So one example I'll give you there is, and I think it's been mentioned before, is our team sat down with the police department folks, went through every room and looked at every single electrical and data outlet and said, do you need that? And that sounds kind of silly, but if you can save, you know, if you can trim one data and one electrical outlet out of a room, that's, you know, several hundred dollars or more. If you do it 50 or 60 times, that's real money. And so that's just one example. We did it everywhere with carpet, with shelving, I mean, just every piece that we could. What do we have to have? What's a nice to have? And try to make that distinction. At the same time, we were evaluating costs, and we could still see that it was coming in over budget. So we were in close conversation with the city manager, department heads, police chief, and our council committee that's overseeing the project, and saying, okay, so this is what we're seeing. We can make more cuts, you know, a lot more square feet out of the building, or continue on with the approach that we're at, and just trying to validate, okay, you know, are we meeting that mission of what was promised? So that's how we wound up kind of at the solution that we're at, where there was additional funding requests. We hit Public Works for some of the utilities. Police were able to contribute from funds that they have from search and seizures, and then of course the urban renewal piece. So the two times we came to urban renewal, and that total came to about 4.7 million when it was all added together. But the building itself, yes, transportation separately.
And part of the conversations we had about using urban renewal kind of came down to some of the other things that would have to be cut from the project if it didn't have the additional resources. So one of those items was the parking structure, drastically cutting back on parking on site and using Marion parking as the alternate for parking. So, you know, forecasting ahead 20, 30, 40 years, and demand and need at Marion, that really should be to serve the growth and investment in downtown, not for police staff. So to preserve the capacity in Marion, you know, the trade-off is additional funding to make sure that they continue to maintain the parking on site of the police facility. Another one of the trade-offs that we were looking at was fencing around the site and different types of fencing. An alternate that would have been significantly less attractive than what was initially programmed. And, you know, so for the general aesthetic environment and how that would fit into the streets, and some of the urban renewal funding will go to maintaining the fencing. We have the community room, the plaza, the restrooms, you know, the across the board as costs went up. Our original allocation to those elements, those associated costs also increased. So then, you know, continuing to preserve those assets like the community. Do you want to talk about transportation at all, or I can jump? Transportation costs also went up.
I mean, pretty much the same thing as some of the hottest market sectors were excavation and asphalt. So that's some of the same issue that I saw there. And it's a little bit of a tricky project, the transportation work itself, because it has to be coordinated with the building project. So it's not as straightforward as some transportation projects where the contractor can come in and dictate the schedule. They're going to have to coordinate with J.E. Dunn, our general, to make sure that access is maintained so they don't delay the overall project. So it's not a production type transportation job like some are.
So if you have questions for Alan about the project, and ask those now, or I can shift to talking about the budget and where the money came from. And... want me to dive into that? Okay.
So Alan, I just have one for you.
Yeah.
When will the transportation improvements be done?
Oh, thanks for asking. So you see Kerr Contractors, who's the same contractor that did the site work, got the bid for the transportation work. They'll be starting later this fall, probably late in the fall. And the first thing that you'll see out there is digging in the utilities. So there's some relatively deep storm that needs to go in along Liberty and Division. So that'll be the first thing that happens, probably like in the November, December timeframe. And then they'll be working in the rest of that. And then they'll be working from there through spring and summer. You'll start to see signal masks go up in the spring, and then paving will be once we get dry weather next summer before.
So I'm going to start with the road project. So the cost increase for Division Street, that increased $633,000 in terms of our allocation. The total cost increase, I think, was even more than that, but there was the stormwater money and other money that have gone to that portion of the project. So the additional urban renewal allocation, that $633,000 we took from the streetscape line item. We had budgeted $2.4 million for starting the design and some construction. So since this project is implementing the streetscape just to that end of town, it made sense to pull it from that line item. And then we still have a balance of $1.7 million within the streetscape line item to move forward with design and construction, but I don't think we'll get to construction this fiscal year, but definitely to move forward with the design of streetscape. So that's not going to be slowing down the streetscape project. Then with the building, we had an initial allocation from a year ago of just over $2 million. And then with the cost escalation, a request for an additional $2.6 million, rounding here a little bit, for a total allocation of $4.745 million. So those funds, we had the capital grant budget of $7 million, and we took $1.3 million from the capital grant line item, leaving us a balance of about $5.7 million for capital grants. In making a decision in terms of what line items to pull money from, Sheree and I sat down and with input from some of the projects, the bigger projects we knew were on the horizon, to talk with them about their timelines and whether or not they thought they would be coming in with grant requests this fiscal year or if it would be next fiscal year. Some of those, like the hotel, we were told they wouldn't be starting construction until next fiscal year and wouldn't need the funding until then. The Wells Fargo site, there had been a developer looking at those two properties that then it just didn't pencil for them even with a grant. So we know that it'll be at least until next fiscal year before anything is really back in play or starting construction on that site. So what we are currently aware of that's in the pipeline for grants, we anticipate we're going to be able to cover with the funding that we have available. Then we pulled an additional $60,000, from streetscape design for the building. The plaza is included in the building budget. And so we're sort of seeing the plaza as an extension of streetscape and the street amenities. So again, that's leaving us the $1.7 million in the streetscape. And then we had the bigger hit to the unspecified future projects. We'd started with a $1.9 million budget in that category, and we'll be using $1.3 million for the building part of the project. So that does leave us with a lower amount in that budget line item than we are normally used to. Overall, in terms of this urban renewal area, you know, this is really going to be a hit to this fiscal year. So we can cover pretty much everything that we have planned and budgeted and not slow down. You know, we've got that covered. It's a very small hit to our total maximum indebtedness in this urban renewal area. So as we look long-term and big picture, it's a really negligible impact. It could potentially be a hit if something that we are not aware of that just, you know, completely off the radar comes in. I'll use the Wells Fargo site as an example. If a developer came forward and they could, between now and next fiscal year, acquire the property and get it through design review, which that would be a really fast timeline, you know, we could end up in a situation where we don't have enough grant funding, but I think the risk is really quite low given where we are. So I'm happy to answer any questions about all of that.
So the total, This is where it just starts getting. So for the street improvements, $4.2 million, and for the police facility, $4.7 million. So a total, $8.9 riverfront contribution to the transportation, the streetscape, and the community space. Is that?
Parking and the parking garage.
Right, but is that sound right?
Yes.
Okay, great. I think that the other things that, I gave you guys a copy of the capital improvement grant. And so you saw that we had some grants in there that were larger than we typically have too. And because Kristen's here, I want to make sure that, I mean, I've been talking about, we do the best we can planning and we're going to hold everybody's feet, you know, holding Kristen's feet to the fire to not lose the streetscape, because those kinds of projects, it takes so long to just get through. Alan's there. And those are the hardest for us, because we put the money and then we don't necessarily see anything for 3 or 4 years, and we don't feel like we're accomplishing it, even though that's our high priority. So, you know, council went through their citywide planning. We've been talking about, you know, their priorities aren't necessarily perfectly aligned with ours. They want to, we need to contribute to addressing the homelessness. Obviously, we came up with a new grant program, but you saw in our capital improvement grant project that, you know, Arches, which is down just north of Marion Square Park, I mean, I think we all know about UGM, but I'm going to let Kristen talk a little bit more. I've now gone through myself, and I feel a little bit more comfortable in talking about all that they're doing there and how we're contributing to that also. So, you know, when we did our budget discussion, we weren't really thinking that we would have $1 million or up to $1 million go towards addressing, you know, sobering day room
storage,
things that are critical too. So, I mean, I know we've been talking about, if that comes to us, we're going to be asked to be supportive of it. The police facility, we see the benefits, so we're there. But at the same time, Aaron's like, "What's the budget?" It's very different for the first time for those of us that have been on it the last couple of years. We've had money that we were saying, "What? Where are we going to put that money?" Obviously, things have changed, and now we're kind of almost going the other way, where we're thinking, is there something that could come that we wouldn't be able to be there? The one thing, though, about when somebody needs a grant, when you actually need our money, that's part of the cash flow piece, too. So, you know, Brad or developers know, I mean, it's one thing to say, I'm going to do a project and I'm going to start in the spring, but do you actually need me? Can you wait until July for me to start funding it? You know, can you do it on your other? Because we're a gap lender. We're not, I mean, $18 million for COSA's project. I mean, we're not paying $18 million. I got agency support for $749,999. So we're very little. So do you need the $749,999 the day you start, or can you wait until July for my $749,999? I bet you can wait. So we're looking at everything to try to stretch everything we can to be there for as many of these projects that we already know about. And I think the parking piece for Marion, we have Nordstrom's. We have the Nordstrom's building, and I really think it would have been very short-sighted to have a commitment for city employee parking there when we don't know what they're going to need for parking, because they're kicking around a bunch of different thoughts there. So that would be very short-sighted, because that's going to be that probably, if they would have known that when they were looking at their due diligence, because they asked a lot of questions about parking before they bought the Nordstrom's building, I think that that would have influenced them to not be interested in that if they thought so many of the free customer parking spaces were going to be allocated or reserved for city employees.
Yeah, we had multiple inquiries over the last year about the Nordstrom building prior to this purchase. That one of their first questions was about parking capacity. And the same is true with the Wells Fargo site. If there's going to be any housing or mixed use going in on that site, it's going to need parking capacity at Marion. So it just seemed very short-sighted to give up that parking capacity for employees that, where the spending could park on site. Any other questions?
I appreciate you coming, because I knew that this was something we all needed to kind of get our understanding, get closer to, so.
Well, you made some good comments to Cherie about arches and the mission and investment there, and I think, you know, right now, there's so much balancing, you know, that's going on, or that we're trying to make occur within the downtown. You know, we hear so regularly from the businesses about the issues around homelessness, about people needing a place to go that's not on the sidewalks or in front of your business, about trash and waste, you know, about all of those things. And so while that is not typically an area where we have invested in using urban renewal, it's having such an impact on the rest of our downtown that, you know, that's why we are looking at these grant funds and investments into resources. So there is a place for people to go during the day. There'll be an expanded day room at Arches, and when the mission is built, they will also have an expanded day room, and looking at on-site storage in those locations so that people have a place where they can go as an alternative to being downtown and having a negative impact on businesses.
So, and the big thing that, or not maybe the big thing, but the thought that came in when you were talking about streetscape is just, is just wanting to make sure that that is still something that is on our priority.
That's our priority.
Okay, right.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, so Cherie and the engineering team have had conversations with COES. We've kind of been looking at areas where new investment is going to occur, and what the best option is, whether or not it's for them to build out our plan and then for us to match it in areas that are already developed. Because we've got the limits of how much grant funding we can put into a project without triggering prevailing wage, or whether or not we go ahead and provide them with a grant to build out the streetscape, or whether they do it on their time. So we've been having a lot of those conversations with development teams that are working downtown. And then, you know, looking at Court Street across from kind of the rest of the block where the new apartments are, Frank Court, and then across the street. So kind of designing and implementing there, and then on State Street around where the new investment is going. So that's all continuing to move forward.
Cool. Okay.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
And that was Division Street too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. Having so much fun. There's lots of fun to be had.
Okay, so
thank you, everyone.
Parking information. I have some information on our packets.
Yes. So I totally forgot about that one because I was going to jump to your public meeting. So basically, what I did was I shared with you. Aaron, after the last meeting, said, "How much is this costing us?" And you need to give it, okay, some information. So basically, I turned around and I did the memo that spoke to, we had put the pay station in the muni lot. As you know, we cannot put a pay system on street based on what's in the SRC, but we can put it in like a parking garage or on a surface lot that we have. And of course, we've talked about this a million times. There's no way we would ever put paid parking in a garage when you have free on the street. It's just, it's not going to work. So we thought we would just see in the muni lot what the reception would be if we put the pay station in there. I went and gave little cards to all of the businesses around there, letting them know so they could let their customers know, because there's hair salons and things around there, that it was coming. Actually, no one said anything negative. I was, okay. And so we put it in, and I thought, well, not a soul is going to go in that lot and pay when there's two steps away, three on the street. Oh, no, no, no. It's the demand for that space, even with the free one on street. Again, we're averaging about $5,000 a month. When we did it, I went to Kristen and Renee and said, we have to take whatever comes out of that and put it in the parking fund. It's not going anyplace, but into the parking fund if we get anything. And so I don't have a year to be able to say at the end of the day how it's going to work. But so far we're trending. And so that's what I shared with you, and I answered Aaron's questions. There's actually very little cost associated with it. And I also wanted you to know that it is different than like what's around the Capitol. Yeah, around the Capitol, you know, you get your little receipt and you put it in your window. That's pay-by-plate. So if you go up to that pay station, you put your license plate in. It's just, again, we're trying something else too, because the parking team would rather have pay-by-plate. It's easier to enforce, but again, that's not what we're used to here. And so that's actually a pilot for several things at the same time, because it's small, and again, it's working. In the beginning, people were like, I don't know what to do, because I'm thinking I need a receipt, but no. So it's actually, it's doing pretty well. I mean, you're right by there. Mm-hmm. Are you?
Yeah, it's always full.
Okay, there we go.
How many spaces are in that lot?
29.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's working. People got to park, so they're going to pay to park.
It's working.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it continues to work like it is, it will be nice, because this year we had to make some real tough choices.
And you said that you haven't even had any, like, bad feedback from the thing, which is pretty exciting.
No. I thought maybe, because I went door to door,
right,
that when I gave them information so they could share with their customers.
Yeah, and the customers haven't said anything. So, we're moving. We're moving in the right direction.
Right direction, that's right.
It's a baby step.
It's a baby step. It's a good one.
Thank you, Sheree, for doing that. It's really good information to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we're having these conversations, it's like, well, will people adjust? Or will, you know, and I think, you know, having that information is key to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes, you know, something like that, doing some big press release or something, you don't even give it a chance. I mean, lesson learned on the mid-block.
Yeah.
Before we even got to try it, people were against it, because they kept calling it a parklet, and that's not what it was, but that's okay. So every time we do these things, and that was 30 days, when it comes to parking, you know, we're getting a little bit more strategic on how we, and don't think that we're not going to try that again, because we've talked about it. At some point, if people give it a chance, it might not be so. Mm-hmm. Or when Charles gets done with his building, he really wants a parklet,
right,
out in front for extended eating space. He just really, really wants that. So next summer, when the weather's nice, hey,
we'll try that.
Maybe
one.
We'll just let him take a parking space and try a parklet. And we'll see how that goes, because he wants it as the business. He wants to lose that parking space for something like that. He thinks that that would just be a real asset to his business. So, yes, and this, we did not get any negative feedback, but people are allowing it to just, we can just try it. So I'm very happy.
Thanks.
With it. So, yeah.
Alley lighting project?
I'm not sure if I have I told you that we're actually now doing it.
No.
We're actually now doing it. It's one of those projects that it's taken years, and until we actually got to the point where I knew it could happen, we haven't been talking about it, because it's managing expectations for me. I don't want people to say, where is it?
$499,000? alley improvements?
It's part of that.
Okay.
It doesn't cost that much, but it's part of that. And so basically what we have a pilot alley. It's the one where 1859 is. So right now in that alley, there's a light underneath the sky bridge. It's really pretty dark in that alley. And then there's an arch that is attached to buildings. And so the new lighting is not attached to a building. It's on poles. It's the wires. And so the poles are in, you know, are not on anybody's property in the right-of-way city-owned property. So the lights will be on wires. They're about 6 inches. They're LED. So they'll kind of be invisible, but they'll give a consistent lighting in the alley. Mm-hmm. Now, Rebecca's not here, but our fantasy is, because there's going to be electrical outlets at the top of those poles, that we're able to put holiday lights on those wires, or maybe pennant little things in the summer on those wires, and really make a statement a little bit differently than what we have. So the deal is they're not going to be the old arches anymore. There'll be two or three poles depending on what we have for infrastructure, and then there'll be these wires and these little LED lights to provide a consistent lighting.
Are you saying like wires that go like almost like a canopy look, or is it like
cables?
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're in a backyard and they have the like, it like goes across.
Well,
like
I suppose it could be called the cable. Obviously, it has to have electrical current in it,
right.
But you're not going to have the big lights like people have in their backyard.
Oh, no, I just meant, is it like, if this is the alley, is it going like this?
It won't. I wish it could just go straight down the alley, but no, it will have to cross over the alley.
So you'll like
have, that's why, since we have to have that, it'd be kind of fun to have like the holiday light on some point.
Right.
I think this is our pilot. If it works, then the goal would be to replicate it.
Right.
Each year we would choose another one. It's just every alley is different.
Mm-hmm.
What utilities are there, where we could put them. So it's
taken. Where's that going?
Oh, well, the good news is that starting in the fall, you should start seeing the infrastructure. The goal was to have it up by the holidays. How many years have I said that? Okay. Probably not this holiday, probably spring. And so next holiday season, not this one. Because that when I start this like in January, it's like, okay, can we have it for holiday next year?
Right.
Still could. And you want to know why? This year, at least, there was a reason. The poles are manufactured in the state where they had all that flooding. And so it backed up all of the orders, making it like 16 to 18 weeks once you ordered the poles.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after they took care of all the orders they already had ahead of you. So that at least made me feel a little bit better this year. So that's the alley light.
Okay, thank you.
I'm very excited about that one.
Cool. All right.
Okay.
Staff public meeting.
Okay, so I'm going to just turn it over to Vincenzo and Aaron, but I'm going to pass out the purple ones are the breakout questions for the table. Anita has the PowerPoint ready to go too. If you want to do that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, so Vincenzo, Cherie, and I met, and Vincenzo and I met a couple times in addition to that, to kind of just go through putting together this PowerPoint presentation and then the questions. So. Again, and we added, you'll see the second slide in the PowerPoint is our little brief agenda, but just to kind of remind ourselves and everyone there why we're even here. The goal is not for us to give a lecture and take this whole time just talking, but we do want to educate, so we know that a lot of people don't understand fully what we do, or the difference between, say, parking fund and urban renewal fund, and what dollars can be used for what. So that's one primary goal, is that education piece. So, and we'll run through that here in a second. And then the celebrate piece is to kind of building off that education to show how we've actually done. And when I say we, I mean the community, the city, all of us, the what things have been accomplished through this.
DAB has been able to provide, right, to help.
Yeah, we've at least been part of the process to make recommendations.
Right.
And so celebrating the good work that has been done, and then finally that idea of formulae, which is really just to say, so now that you all, you know, just make sure you all understand what we're doing. What feedback do you have? Are our priorities right? Because presumably the audience is people who are actually paying into this fund, and so a big piece of this is, okay, so now we want to hear your feedback. And strategically, we want to make sure that this is table group discussions, people talking, small enough groups that, you know, the people who might not speak in front of the large group can actually say something. And then if people don't feel satisfied still, they can write comments, cards, and send those to us. That's the input we hope to get. We don't want people standing up and complaining about their one little issue that's driving them crazy and dominating the whole conversation. So that's going to be one key, is we're going to try to curb all that and say, write a comment card.
Yeah.
And so again, just we hope that the lecture part that Vincenzo and I are doing is actually pretty quick, pretty brief, kind of run through it, informal, and then move on to that table group part where we're asking downtown, you know, all of us to be at a table, and you'll have this. It might change based on today or whatever, but and you'll just kind of facilitate a conversation at your table. So
so we'll just kind of go through the slides just so you kind of know what the process is going to be. So we're going to talk about what exactly we are, and the two different ways in which we kind of help support the council and everything. And then we'll talk about who we are, that we're business owners. These are the people that are in the group, which we need to, oh no, Josh isn't there, great. And then we'll go right into talking about the Urban Renewal Agency Board and what, and the Riverfront Downtown area. And we'll talk about that whole thing. Aaron will now go into his spiel and talking more statistics and whatnot. This is a celebration, talking about how those funds have been used for the Peter Courtney Bridge, for the new building with Archive and Ritter's, and as you can see, Riverfront and everything.
And we're trying to help people understand that, so you see all this great stuff happening, buildings, bridges, whatever, that's urban renewal dollars. I'm trying to help make that distinction between different pots of money and how you see things happening there.
Mm-hmm. And police station, more just design the gray building. And then we'll talk about streetscape.
I will remove that.
Okay, great.
We don't want mid-block to have a problem.
We're like, maybe a different picture. We have other pictures.
I'm kind of particular to myself. But.
Yeah, future. It's like, absolutely not. we'll have some more pictures and just talk about, you know, the streetscape and how this that is our big, you know, project that we're wanting to
going forward.
Exciting. Then we go back, and then we go into parking fund and why that's different and how that affects this area. More statistics. Aaron talking, and then we talk about how that money goes to beautification, cleaning up downtown, not a clean team. Cleaning up downtown, keeping the parking structures safe and up to date, and promotions. With things like the Salem Main Street Association.
You're doing pretty good talking.
I hate public speaking, and I don't have to look at anyone right now.
So this is
best. Hey, I can be a different character. People don't get that.
Good math.
I'll be an actor. I'm just going
to
be pretend to be a different thing. It's not Vincenzo for this meeting. So downtown parking fund revenue. So this is where Aaron's going to go into. This is the projection, and this is what's happening. And we would like to discuss how you all Well, maybe you talk. See, now I'm nervous.
No, you're great. You're doing good.
You say it.
How you feel is not to the breakout.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, I don't want to talk to them yet.
But I think the point is to say, you know, again, that education piece to say, okay, so now we're making you aware that the system we have now for parking does not sustain itself going forward. So we, the collective, we have to come up with something because it doesn't work. It's not going to work. So we can't, the revenue we get by taxing, by businesses paying the parking fund tax, it's not enough to sustain on-street parking, parking garages, you know, all that maintenance, security things that you're talking about, that has to happen. So we'd like your input. We'd like your ideas, your thoughts. We know we have options, but
we talked.
Are you going to talk about the cap on the tax?
This is what I was just going to say.
Yeah,
I was
there's some of those finer details that we could. Yeah, we. I think we actually. I don't have
it out
here. We made some notes.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not
notes.
All of it. Yeah. Just the importance of
pull that up.
Yeah.
The cap on the tax, and then what inflation.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't keep up with inflation.
Right.
Well, I think when we met, that was, we talked a great, quite a bit about what.
Why it's,
what,
the systems
well,
that are in
kind
place.
Of like, you asked me, well, you know, what would be the barriers? What have we tried? I think that was what you asked. Well, you know, we're limited on the parking tax because of this. We have free parking, and we've looked at having a dollar or whatever in a parking garage, but eliminating the permit holder revenue and replacing it with a dollar decreases. And so, you know, because I shared with them during the parking task force, we looked at every scenario possible to change the methodology for what a business tax would change to, so maybe Kohl's wouldn't pay as much. We would look at a different methodology for them, but at the end of the day, there was such significant consequences to a small business versus a small business. None of changing the structure was a win or equitable and fair. So a lot of ideas came out during the parking task force sessions, and unfortunately none of them worked, and what came out of them was a recommendation for a paid system, which the council, I mean, you're not going to talk about this, which the council approved, as we all know, and then they undid it because of an initiative petition, and that's when the cap went on what we could do with increasing the parking tax also. So, you know,
part of the story is that the parking district and the parking tax, they were created in the 70s. You know, and it worked for that time, you know, but things have changed, Salem has changed, the nature of our businesses have changed.
Yeah.
Is it still the best solution, or are there better solutions?
Right, and I think that, and that's what, I mean, that was something that we talked about as to how we go from this and not just saying, what do you guys think, but saying, we've done stuff to, you know, and I think that we have some, did you feel like this, these notes kind of will hit on those things?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like what Sheree said, there's been a parking task force has looked at a lot of different options, and so, so it's kind of, we're not trying to shoot ideas down, but just to say, we've looked at these things, you know, this one over here doesn't work.
Bring them up to speed.
Yeah. Selling the parking structures, for example.
That's one. Let's sell them.
Let's sell them. Well, no one's going to buy a structure that's free to park in. They're not going to make any money.
I couldn't find a buyer.
Yeah.
Do the math.
Josh, can you find a buyer?
I can find a buyer. And I'll tell you what, the cost of the next astronomical.
Right.
For patrons. One of the agenda items was formulate. What are you formulating in this?
So we're at this point in the agenda where we jump from educate to go to your table group. And the idea is that at the table groups, people will contribute ideas, people will write down ideas, and we'll at least get their feedback as to how they'd like to see us move forward. So the idea is that we at least are moving towards a formulation of a solution.
Get some buy-in along the way. With
Right.
And collaborative nature.
Yeah, and you can see in the questions, like the first one is meant to be very just a softball out there, icebreaker, to just get people talking and really kind of starting to narrow in on what the conversation's even about. Just what are your hopes for downtown? So yes, and these are open for feedback. I think we need to change them.
Have you thought about asking them to prioritize anything? So some of the things that we spend money on, you know, so maintenance, the cleaning, the beautification, the promotion, and ask for people to weigh in on, like, out of that list of things that we have historically funded, what they think top priorities are. I mean, are they like, really, would they really rather see Christmas decorations and forget the cleaning, or, you know?
Right.
Well, is that, like, something that
don't give up cleaning?
I would, what do we think? Do we think we want to have four questions, or do we want to replace one? I'm open to the groups. I think I'd be fine with adding one more question, because...
And would the question be... Like, do we need to provide, like,
how open-ended check,
and, like, put 1, 2, 3, 4 on priority?
Like, give them, like, five items, and then tell them to rank them?
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're kind of thinking?
I think that could be informative for you guys as you make future budget decisions when you've got tight budgets.
The last question is pretty technical. I don't know who's coming, where the meeting is. I understand the why. But it seems like there would be a question in between 2 and 3 about what challenges specifically do you face parking downtown? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of progressively going from softball to addressing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what is the biggest challenge your business faces?
Well, but if you leave it open, then it's kind of interesting what you get. Yeah. I mean, I do surveys in my building, and if I have multiple choice, that's... But once this time I left a couple open questions, you can't believe all the stuff I got. So,
good or bad.
Instead of leading them to what you want to hear, the open question, I'm all for those now. Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, I think the big thing is to not appear to have an agenda, because you do that.
Right.
And depending on what boxes you give, how you state something, you've drawn a conclusion and you're asking them to support them or not, and that is not what we're doing. I think just getting information to inform, like Kristen said, your discussion, and Aaron, are you doing the parking fund? So, one of the things that you could do during your parking fund conversation is, these are the things that are eligible for parking fund dollars according to Chapter 7. You can do beautification, and those are things like, hanging flower baskets, cleaning, kind of like those things that we could fund it with, are you seeing what you would like to have the money be used for? Kind of that question. So you're not saying, choose flower baskets or cleaning, I hope. But at the same time, they may have something, maybe they'll say, and we wouldn't answer anything, we would like more murals. Let's say they said, more murals. Well, in general, that isn't something that we have paid for out of parking fund, because if we had to choose between paying for a police officer and safety and security over a mural, we wouldn't do that. But at the end of the day, when we gather them all up, if there's patterns to what people feel would help us be more vibrant or help their business be more successful, then we can take a look at that. I mean, I like it not at all answering any question, but getting from them, because now, you have a business. We've already talked a little bit about the homelessness. Mm-hmm. You certainly have been trying to get people in your building. So some things mean more to you than something else, and Brad, you know, I think John Wilburn and I must have the same hours because he's sitting in there every day when I'm walking by. So I think each of you would probably answer this a little bit differently, yeah. So.
So can you take a half sheet of paper, though, that we can give them that has what the parking pays for, and then prioritize them, and then we just turn it in and somebody does the count.
That's a good idea.
Cool.
That'd be great. So is that something that you can do, Sheree?
Yes, and I'm going to be talking to Kristen about hazard pay after working with you two. I just want to know.
Don't even.
So what did we were trying to, what was it that she was like?
We were trying to like help.
No, I Sheree, just said you guys are out of control.
We're not out of control. You should see our meetings. Sheree's out of control.
We were trying, I think it was food or something.
They gang up.
Oh yeah, it was about
trying to say,
we were like, you don't have to pay for, we said, you don't have to pay for it. And she was like,
she's going
to
pay for food for the meeting out of her own pocket. And we were like, no. And then she does this, she starts complaining
that we're ganging,
up on her by trying to help her.
So here's the deal. I just want to be, make sure that this makes sense. So Aaron, you will be talking, like the notes that we have, basically that we've all talked about, you will discuss those in this slide mm-hmm. about like, well, we tried these things, we've done these things, yeah. And then we go into, we would like to open it up. Like, and then we'll have this, yeah. And we'll also have the thing to check off, like 1, 2, 3, through whatever, 8, 6.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's only 4 things. 4 flower, or beautification.
The parking front?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see that.
No, I'll do that.
Oh, okay, great. Good.
Yeah, we'll see that from her soon.
Good.
So question 1, we'll leave. Question 2, we can leave, and then maybe the flyer is kind of like
question 3.
What do you think? Is it question 3 or is
I'd leave question 3 in there because I think that most of the small business people down there are going to go figure out how to pay for parking because we're tired of being tapped.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly, right? I mean, that's kind of the
thought. And should we add a question in between that says something like, what parking challenges do you face or something? Do we need a, like Josh was suggesting, another in-between question?
Can't that be number 2? What is the biggest challenge your business is facing downtown? So,
again,
as you know, I'm sensitive to the parking thing because is that what we just say it is versus it could be something else?
Yeah.
I mean, so if it's like this, somebody could say parking, but it could be homeless.
Right.
It could be I don't have enough whatever in my space. I don't know. Or my landlord keeps increasing my rent every year when I didn't think of, I don't know what they might put there. But
well, Joshua, do you have an idea of how maybe we could transition into this? Like, do you think?
I like the idea of just what Sheree is replacing too, is specifically about parking, because I feel like the train's going to go off the tracks if you talk about challenges in downtown. Everyone's going to start,
So we just say, what is the biggest parking challenges?
Or what challenges?
One reason why we didn't
surrounding parking.
One reason why we didn't do that, and again, I'm open to ideas here, but
sure.
The reason why we didn't was we didn't want, and we really don't just want to have one agenda item because while we want their feedback about parking, and that's certainly an issue that we all are going to have to deal with as we try to deal with the budget. We also do want to know their priorities. We also do, I mean, that biggest challenge facing downtown is kind of along the lines of the priority question. But it is meant to be
holistic,
to say that we're not just here to just focus
just
on one thing.
About,
we are here to get your input.
Right.
On downtown in general.
On downtown in general. Now we
as the downtown advisory board.
Exactly.
Even though the goal would be to create ideas and buy-in and on parking.
That's
sustainable
one.
Parking.
Right? I mean, that's one, but we also do, to like Christian's point, we do want to know what their priorities are when it does come to that. Like, when we allocate that money to different things, it's not enough money, so we have to make hard decisions. Are we going to do flower baskets, or are we going to have people that go around and clean you know, pick garbage off the street? Are we gonna have any Christmas decorations? Or, you know, like, we just don't have enough money to do, like, the parking structures. We know they have to have some major maintenance projects done, and the more you defer those, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
Right. So, where do we've got to find a way to come up with that money. But, so that is a huge question, but at the same time, we're trying to take this opportunity to get even broader feedback, and so there's kind of that
I'm just thinking of what could be a nice transition into, I mean, you know, we're ending on this parking fund, the deficit. So, like, we're already ending here with, we're going down.
Yeah. Go ahead, Crystal.
Two things. The audience, is it limited just to businesses, or is it broader than that?
Business and property owners.
Okay, because question two specifically speaks to your business.
Mm-hmm.
So you could leave it that way, or you could just say, ask about the biggest challenges downtown is facing, to make it a little bit more open-ended for property owners or non-business owners.
Yeah.
But then if you did the prioritization, so before you get to question number three, I think that could be a transition.
Yeah.
These are all
the prioritization is going to be parking fund, right?
Right.
So
right.
That is a good
transition. So maybe we just take that off and put question three at the bottom of the fill out thing. So that people aren't seeing that right at the beginning.
The flyer?
Yeah. Or if it's like the back of the page or something like that.
Or you can put the prioritization on this and just let this or the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there'll be. So there'll be four questions then.
Yeah.
Question three here becomes four. Question three is the prioritization.
Right. Yeah,
that sounds great.
Parking fund, all right, all these things, how would you prioritize those?
I think that's a good transition.
Cool. So it's the 16th. Where's it happening?
At the Grand.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
And is it the 3?
Yes.
16th and 3, right?
Mm. So if y'all want to show up around 2:45 or so, just to make sure we know where your table is. Yeah, right? She's got the food. We're going to have a smorgasbord.
Oh, you're not. Okay, I'm not even.
Any other questions for us or things, thoughts on the process? I know you guys are going to be a part of it too, so we appreciate that.
So let's go over that a second. So the expectations are that I think it would be best if the tables are captained by you. I think it's best not to have city staff at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't feel that you guys like me. I just think for you to get the benefit out of it, having city at the table could interfere with somebody feeling like they could share something.
Want them to feel like they can badmouth you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's okay.
Because she is a safe place. Like food for you before.
You can do that.
Don't ask her.
And so that reduces your capacity.
True.
Which means, you know, as soon as you guys can take a look at your availability so that Aaron and Vincenzo, so we can plan for it, we have no idea how many people will be there.
Right.
I would love to have 40 people. And how many people at a table?
8, I think. 8 or 10.
Okay. We could always try to get another one in there if we had not as many table captains as we needed to. Mm-hmm. But think about that and let us know right away. So right now on my list, I have obviously board member edits to make on the slide because we've had changes again.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda Nishioka was appointed this week.
Has
is recommending her. Okay, so we have somebody that's being recommended. Okay. And now Hillary, that's new as of today, so I'll update.
You just came in on that.
Yeah, because she's not working downtown anymore.
Oh.
They're relocating out to South River.
Oh, bummer.
And then I need to change the picture.
Yes.
And then we'll have a comment card.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have a sign-in sheet, and then I'll figure out a way to get the priorities as number three and switch out the questions.
Can we get name tags too for all of us that are on the board so that, yeah?
Is there anything else you'd like?
Maybe.
Special food.
I will. I'll email you.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
That's up our agenda. Was there anything?
Well, no, because the idea, the reason, wait, the reason.
How did everybody get invited to our thing?
Yeah.
Flyers. And how we gotten the word out?
Oh, you got mailed a postcard?
Okay, so everybody would have gotten the save the date, and then the second one that is don't forget is going out fairly quickly. We're all queuing it up.
Okay, I'm also setting it up. I mailed it since I was waiting for this meeting to.
Okay, yep. Perfect.
Yeah.
And the reason I was thinking for name tags is so that we can have each person at a table ready to greet people to like, come sit down, I'm on the board, and blah, blah, blah. I gotta go to rehearsal.
We're going to be having a forum on the 4th, September 4th, on the CitLine ordinance, and it's going to be at the Mission. It'll be at 5:30. So I'm just looking at your questions. That may be a subject that comes up.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll be getting the word out about that forum as well, and hopefully people may come to that forum to talk about that subject and not dominate this forum with that subject.
But I anticipate the homeless to be
someplace.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Oh, I have one more thing. I'm supposed to pass these out. Sorry. Here's my from Robert Chandler. I have too many folders. Actually, I started out organizing and I got beginning of all script.
Sure, I'm trying to get this out of here.
I know, but I tell these people, hey, pass these. He couldn't be here, so I'm here. Okay. The Salem Rotary Multisport Riverfest will take place on Sunday, September 15th. The event is centered at Riverfront Park, but it involves three parks, two bridges, and one river. The event includes a family fun run, 5K and 10K timed runs, and Olympic and sprint distance triathlons and duathlons. The triathlon is a swim, bike, run, and the duathlon is a run, bike, run. Both multi-sport events are open to individuals and teams of two or three. Our triathletes swim in the Willamette. The bike course takes riders from Walls Green Park, past Riverfront Park, and eventually along rural River Road South. Our runs takes place on some of the most beautiful trails on Minto Brown Island Park.
I'm just going to say it's a little late to sign up for a triathlon.
Not much of a training window. I got to learn to swim.
I have two more. I have two more things. If you haven't noticed, the Salem 50 Plus has been doing adorable pop-ups back here on the plaza. Different classes. Maria Palacio has been teaching flower arranging.
Oh, cool.
They did line dancing out at the market on a Wednesday. Rebecca, our team applied for a grant, and the grant is what they're using. Our goal was to get more seniors in downtown, to get them comfortable taking buses, to get comfortable coming down, going in like Spanish class. Part of the Spanish classes, and they need to go to a restaurant and apply the Spanish that they've learned. So anyway, a different way of trying to partner. And then the other one was more, if you have a restaurant as a tenant, I think I read where there's a law that was passed that you have to have closed captioning on the TVs if you have them there. So,
okay.
One last thing. So my public thanks to Cherie. I know what you said about John being there at your hours.
Oh, yeah.
I have been just recently in the last few months been showing up to work in the 6 o'clock hour and have daily seen her walking around town cleaning up trash, organizing our trash cans,
all and those trash cans.
So much that you do that goes unnoticed. I think.
Yeah. Here. Because you look at her emails to you sometimes.
Yeah.
I get garbage reports before 6.
Yeah.
Well, very, very nice.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I have no idea why your trash can is now on the route. It never was. And now I feel so bad. It's like, it's open and, yeah, it changes. But anyway,
now
thank
I know
you.
How to close this up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Aaron, thanks.
No,
yeah, I hung up the phone.